Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR, American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Abe Hamilton. We are live streaming on AFR.net and on our app. And we've got Facebook Live going on. I think the camera's on Abe this half hour. And so we will we'll keep it there. Right, Walker, Facebook page. Facebook, what is it called?
Yeah, we're Facebook Live. If you go to Facebook, type in Today's Issues in the search bar, and our page will come up. And everybody was saying, I want to see Abe. I want to see Ed.
Abe.
Well, they
Abe
got
and Ed?
Now. Well, they have it now.
Well,
they
there
have
it is.
Huh?
I see Abe.
You see Abe? Do you see
I got it on my phone.
I'm sorry. I apologize in advance.
Right. Hey, you know. A lot of people don't know I was a hand model in college. And
wait, I want to watch myself laughing.
Now that was a long time ago. But anyway, I have some experience in people looking at me for a particular reason, and so the
so
hands,
people have come up and
well,
admired
look at that
you.
Hand. Look
would
at that.
Would you like to show? Let me move the camera a little bit. Zoom
so you
in.
You can see the left hand is.
Wow.
I mean, I don't want to brag on myself, but I mean it got me through college. I'll just say that.
Wait a second. If you got yourself through college by letting people take pictures of your hands,
well, hand model,
and you're a guy,
model.
You right. shouldn't even mention
well,
it.
Okay.
It should just be a part,
well, you know,
a dark part of your past.
Just, you do what you got to do sometimes. And my hand was, you know, was making money for me, modeling different things. But anyway, that was a long time ago, and I haven't taken care of this hand like I should have. So we can talk about this more. Another year. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. All right, Steve Jordahl has come into the studio with us from OneNewsNow.com. And, Steve, we were just discussing the polls that are out that show a tightening presidential race. Now, make no mistake about it, Donald Trump is still behind, according to the polls. Some of you don't believe in the polls, and that's your prerogative. We'll find out whether they're right or not on Tuesday night.
Would that be the opinion of the American people or the people that live in Poland?
Well, that's a good question, Steve, and that's why you're with OneNewsNow.com to investigate.
Well, I'm thinking we're going to go with the opinion thing and not the Polish people.
Okay, okay. tell us what you know about the polls.
Well, I found interesting this morning, one of the first things I try to do every morning is look at the Real Clear Politics poll, average of polls. And you are correct that the race is tightening in the general election. If you just look at the number of people who favor Trump over Clinton. And in some polls, Trump is even pulling ahead. But he's probably slightly behind the national polls. However, I looked this morning at the battleground states that we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yes, tell me.
The states of there'd be Arizona, Florida, Ohio, North Carolina, Iowa, and Georgia. And Trump is up in every one of those Real Clear
Reel
Politics
off those
polls.
States again?
Arizona, Trump is up these are all fairly close, by about 1.5 points in the average of polls. In Florida, Trump is up by 1 in the average of polls. In Ohio, he's up by 2.5 in the average of polls. In North Carolina, up 0.7. In Iowa, up 1.4. And in Georgia, he's up 4 points in the RCP average of polls. So this is the way that he gets to the election, through the states, through the Electoral College. It's an uphill battle. Most maps still have Hillary Clinton winning the Electoral College handily, but things are closing. And if you can, we've talked here about if you can believe the polls or not. They're based on old models and who knows which one of them are push polls and that kind of stuff. But it's getting very
what
tight.
What about Pennsylvania?
I didn't look it up, but I could. Is this computer working?
Well, I 2 days ago I saw a poll. If Trump wins Pennsylvania and wins all those states you just mentioned, then he's probably the next president.
He's still trailing in Pennsylvania.
Yes, he's still trailing, but he's
it's tightened. It's tightening just about everywhere. Except
2 days ago, I saw a 2 and 3% lead for Clinton,
which is within the margin of error.
In Pennsylvania, which the Democrats are counting on.
Right.
Pennsylvania. Hillary Clinton's team counting.
Well, the Republicans in a presidential.
Is that what you're saying? About a 3-point lead per, or more? Well,
this says 6 points, but I don't know how. Right. This one is not the most recent one, I don't believe.
There are a lot of coal miners in Pennsylvania.
Right.
Well, the Republicans have not won Pennsylvania since 1988. George Bush Sr.
It's a blue
41.
State.
So now. That would be a shocker.
It
would
oh, yeah.
Be, if
yeah.
Trump won.
But, you know, Abe and I were just talking before the break that, Abe, if you get a depressed vote in the minority community, for example, in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. or white liberals in that live in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. you're going to have that'll hurt the Clinton camp.
Yeah, and I was thinking that may be part of the Trump campaign's calculus in doubling back to these blue states, you know, Pennsylvania, Michigan, so on and so forth, to, if not necessarily to try to steal voters, but to compound the piling on effect, if you will, with this FBI investigation that could possibly result in a reduction in the amount of consistently faithful Democrat voters turning out on election
day. On the heels of the news about Obamacare.
Exactly.
Well, let's face it. The black voters in this country are not going to come out for Hillary Clinton in the numbers they came out for Barack Obama the last two election cycles.
No.
So that's got to be worrisome in some states that might be close because Hillary Clinton's counting on the African-American vote, 90+%, and if that doesn't happen with big numbers, then that could hurt her. Go ahead.
I just want to just announce a breaking story that I'm looking at. This is linked from the Drudge Report to Project Veritas. Now, that's James O'Keefe, who does these undercover video investigations. If you remember, James O'Keefe was the one who did the Planned Parenthood stuff.
He's awesome.
He has video. I have not listened to the video, but I'm reading the transcript of it. I have not listened to it because I'm just looking at it for the first time here. So this is a new video released by Project Veritas Action. They catch a top Democratic donor at a fundraiser for North Carolina U.S. Senate candidate Deborah Ross. So we're talking about the black vote in some of these key states. This is what this top donor says. His name is Benjamin Barber. He says, have you heard of the Sonderkommandos, Jewish guards? I'm quoting them from the transcript. Jewish guards who helped murder Jews in the camps. So there were even Jews that were helping the Nazis murder Jews. And now he turns and he's telling James O'Keefe, who's videotaping this undercover, he says, so blacks who are helping the other side are seriously, and he uses a terrible word, in the head. They're only helping the enemy who will destroy them. Maybe they think if I help them, we'll get along. Okay, he's talking about Democrats. So somehow I'll save my race by working with the murderers and talking also about the issue of abortion.
He's talking about black people who support Donald Trump? Comparing them with the Jews that helped kill other Jews?
He's talking about them helping Democrats.
So
because
the Democrats
of the abortion,
are talking about...
Because of the abortion issue. This is a Democratic donor.
Just to reset real quickly, because people maybe have a hard time following you. You're reading off Drudge right now, Drudge Report, right?
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He's talking about anyone who helps Republicans.
Okay.
So
this is a breaking story you're talking about, which could affect.
This is linked from Drudge.
Could affect the election.
He's insulting them.
Right.
He's insulting them.
Who's insulting them?
This donor.
This top Democrat donor?
He's saying
Barber is his name.
Any African-American who supports a Republican, and then he insults their intelligence.
Abraham, you remember you and I talked yesterday about the Democrat pastors who were gathering together and going to petition Hillary for for redress of their grievances, including pro-life and marriage grievances.
Contingent upon her winning the election.
Well, they didn't even really make that a contingency. They just assumed it was going to happen.
Yeah.
The point is, and you can read this story on your own, that one's Ed's talking about, but the point is, I just see it being a, how much depressed? I don't know, a depressed vote compared to 08 and 12, where we had the first African-American to run for president. Well, not to run, but to win the presidency. There was much enthusiasm in the black community for getting out and voting for him. With Hillary Clinton, not so much. I'm sure she'll still get 90% of the vote, probably, of the African-American community. But will they come out in the numbers that they have in the past, which the Democrats always count on that? Well, we'll see. And Donald Trump he said, hey, I'm going to crack into that number. I'm going to get it down to 85 or something like that percentage.
Well, and that would be a huge difference in any particular state that where Democrats have relied on a large voter turnout from the black community, especially in big cities. Yeah. You're talking about Philadelphia, you'd say, Cleveland in Ohio or, places
one,
like that.
We got these stories at onenewsnow.com, our Today's Issues Facebook page. What else you got over there?
Washington, D.C. City Council has passed an ordinance. It's one of a preliminary vote. They have one more vote to go. That legalizes or would legalize assisted suicide in the nation's capital. The nation's capital would join five other states that
physician-assisted suicide.
Physician-assisted suicide.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, if the way the law is written to work, and the way the proponents of the law say it would work, is when somebody is so ill that they don't want to go on. They don't like the quality of their life, they can call a doctor up and the doctor will put together some cocktail of drugs and either administer them himself or give it to the patient to administer to themselves, which are lethal, which would kill the patient. That's what's supposed to happen. Of course, the concerns are that it's not just these people within 6 months of death. But research shows that most of the time people getting this, in addition to whatever illness they have, they are severely depressed, maybe have some other psychological issues. And we see a slippery slope. I'm not big on
slippery. Is this like Dr. Jack Kevorkian type stuff?
It's exactly like Dr. Jack Kevorkian.
You know what I read
the story. It was the Michigan guy back, is that 20 years ago?
That's,
that
was at least
20 years ago. I read a story. He was Dr. Death. You remember he was helping people. The other side would say, hey, these are people with terminal illnesses. They don't want to suffer. Thus, they call on this doctor to inject them with something and cause their death so that they can die with dignity. That's what the other side argues. Hey, what's wrong with that argument?
Well, it allows them to play God. I mean, life should be protected at all costs. And then you have, and I think Steve was alluding to it, the whole slippery slope approach, then you begin to ask questions about the determining factor being quality of life, how do you interpret that? And if you have somebody who has a divergent interpretation of quality of life, do they then get to take advantage of the physician-assisted suicide? So you just open this Pandora's box.
And what happens when someone has a financial interest in their loved one dying and maybe can get power of attorney and can declare them incompetent and all of a sudden...
Well, and there's all kinds of pressure. I think human nature would say that there would be all kinds of pressure on granny or grandpa who is sick, and it's looking like, well, you're going to have to be in the hospital, or you're going to have to be in hospice, or you have to be in a nursing home. Come on, Dad, come on, Gramps. That's just going to drain the family resources. There would be pressure on people. This is the expectation. It's human nature. There would be pressure on people to end their lives prematurely so I can leave more money to... And that's you're also, with doctor-assisted, physician-assisted suicide, you're drawing the doctors into this equation. So the doctors now, rather than saying, I'm sorry, you may want to pass along more money to your kids and grandkids, but there's nothing I can do about that. Now you're drawing the physicians in who say, okay, have you thought about this? Okay, I'll do it. Doctors are supposed to, they've taken an oath, do no harm.
It also costs the state and the government more money to keep someone alive longer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let me inject one thing into that. There's also this part of it. I remember reading about Dr. Jack Kevorkian, and there was a lady from he was in Michigan, right?
Yes.
Wasn't he from Michigan?
Dr. Kevorkian was from the
original.
Okay, so he traveled around to do it.
Well, anyway, there was this lady in California. I would go search this story out, but I remember specifically reading it. but I don't have it in front of me. There was this lady who was told she had terminal cancer, I think. And so she went to Kevorkian, and he killed her. I mean, he, you know, wherever they were that allowed for this, Oregon or somewhere.
Well, when he started, nobody allowed for it.
He had a little van.
He just did it, and he was in prison for a while.
Well, this lady had an autopsy done.
Didn't have cancer.
You remember that story, Abe?
I was young, and I remember it.
And she didn't have, she didn't have it at all, or she did not have it at near the severity that the doctor had told her she had it. And so she had a physician-assisted suicide through Dr. Kevorkian. Then there was an autopsy done, I guess, by her family, only to learn that she was not going to die after all. So, I mean, this is – but has this been stopped for the most part? We're talking about a District of Columbia, a very liberal place, D.C.
Very liberal, yeah.
They've allowed it. But is there any other states?
Well, Steve said there's four other states.
There are four – there are five other states.
Five other states.
What are they?
They are – I have them here. Hold on. This story –
I think one of them's Oregon has been.
Oregon is the only one that has that did it through a direct vote. But California, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington all allow it. And then Montana, the Supreme Court ruled in 2009 that there's nothing in the law that prohibits it. So it's kind of a passive approach to it.
Yeah.
But those are all, read those again, Vermont, Oregon.
California, Oregon, Vermont, Washington, and Montana.
Okay, with the exception of Montana, which is, like you said, a passive. Those are four liberal states. Those are pro-abortion states. Those are states where the majority of people do not have a respect for human life, you know, from the get-go.
This is my point with the slippery slope. I don't like to use slippery slope arguments often because it's just a way of bringing up the worst possible examples. But in this case, we have seen time after time after time when someone starts devaluing life, and it usually starts with abortion. Mm-hmm. And we can look back to Germany in the 30s.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The rest of life quickly becomes devalued, and we start, and then it goes to the end of life, and then it goes to the mentally handicapped and the other poor. What about our homeless population? They can't have a good quality of life.
Yes.
And pretty soon you're Margaret Sanger saying that certain races and certain people aren't worth the
founder
the
of Planned Parenthood.
Exactly.
Who said terribly racist things.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was a eugenicist.
And she was a eugenicist.
And her scorn wasn't limited to obviously her racist predilections or whatever. She also had great disdain for
the poor,
the unfit, the feeble-minded, you know,
in
these
essence,
dregs, these societal dregs.
Who was it that said one generation of imbeciles is enough?
Was that
Margaret Sanger?
Well, the quote that I found here was something about,
a legal case. Yeah. Can I move on to another topic here while y'all are researching?
It is your show.
Well, I was wanting to, we got about 6 minutes left here on the program. Another big story out there is a lady by the name of Donna Brazile. Mm. She is the interim chairman of the National Democrat Party. She took over for, what was her name?
Debbie Wasserman
Schultz.
Debbie
Wasserman Schultz.
Okay, pay attention, folks. I know these names get confusing sometimes. I'm making a point here. Debbie Wasserman Schultz was the chairman of the National Democrat Party, or Democratic Party.
The Democrats' Reince Priebus.
Okay.
Right.
She it was learned that she was working basically in favor of Hillary Clinton and against Bernie Sanders. She's supposed to be an honest broker. She's not supposed to take sides in the Sanders versus Clinton, but she did. It was learned through the emails that she was doing things that the Sanders campaign said she was doing. And so she had to resign. So the lady that takes her place is Donna Brazile. Well, Donna Brazile was working as a commentator on CNN. And then she left that to take over the position with the National Democrat Party. Well, now we know that while working for CNN, I believe I'm
correct. Yes, she was employed at CNN.
She was fed questions multiple times to give to Hillary Clinton at a debate so that she could answer them and look better than Bernie Sanders. See? So she was, it's tipping off, it's cheating. it's cheating. You're telling somebody a question, hey, come here, let me tell you what.
Or if you're a Clinton, it's called winning.
Well, duly noted, Abe. So she did that on multiple occasions. She was caught now. CNN is trying to distance themselves from her.
Well, they fired her.
But she had already left, hadn't she?
She had taken a leave of absence while she was
okay.
working
with the
DNC.
Well, they fired her. Well, good for CNN.
They fired her. But
will she be fired as chairman of the National Democrat Party? Why is Abe laughing?
What do you think Debbie Wasserman Schultz is doing now? She has a high-dollar job in the Clinton campaign.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, lying to these people.
It's called winning.
They don't care. Only if they get caught and it looks bad is lying wrong. So, anyway, we'll see what happens with that.
Can I interject here?
Yeah, please do.
One real question is, who leaked Donna Brazile the CNN questions?
Mm-hmm. Somebody still on the air with him?
It was another CNN, former CNN contributor who was the moderator at one of the debates.
Nobody likes the idea of somebody's emails being hacked and then sprayed out there to the world.
What's really interesting about this is that they have Donna Brazile on tape lying, mm-hmm. bold-faced lying about it, saying and deflecting.
I know, but I'm saying with the Democrats and with some Republicans, we're all human, we're capable of lying. With the Democrat Party today, what all these WikiLeaks emails have shown is that lying and deception, that's just a way of life with these people, as long as it advances their cause. And even if it means backstabbing each other, Clinton versus Sanders, for example. Now, I'm not saying that kind of stuff doesn't go on in the Republican land as well. I'm sure it does.
I'm sure there'd be some embarrassing emails.
Yeah, but I'm just saying what this has shown, although, as again, nobody can approve of stealing people's emails. That's wrong, too. But now that they've been stolen and the whole world knows what goes on here, this is – the incestuous relationship that we all knew existed but maybe couldn't prove it between the media, the liberal media, mainstream media, and the Democratic Party and the Clinton campaign and how they collude to go against Trump and go against the Republicans. I mean, it's awful.
And the perfect example is the story you're highlighting. Can you imagine if Reince Priebus,
the chairman
of the Republican Party, prior to a Fox carried debate of the Republican primary, was found leaking questions that say to Donald Trump?
He would be fired by the party.
Would you be able to find any news media outlet or publication where that would not be plastered?
They would be all over it. I've never seen – The mainstream liberal media is always against whoever the Republican is. That's whoever it would have been. Could have been Mother Teresa, and they would have been opposed. They would have been slandering and opposed to her because they are so dialed into the Democrat liberal ideology. I'm talking about the mainstream liberal mainstream media. Mm-hmm. But with Trump and him getting so close now, they're killing him. You know, they're trying to bring him down. Whatever you think of Trump, the liberal media is, it really is him. It really is Trump versus the world right now. And if he wins, it'll be a shocker to these people. We'll see you next time, folks.